Welcome to Tips from the Server Room. This podcast is designed for all you systems admins, network specialists, or the guys and gals out there in the office who handles it all. Sit back, relax, grab a beverage, and enjoy Tips from the Server Room. Hey, yes, welcome back once again to Tips from the Server Room. This is episode number 28 for December the 24th, 2013. I'm yours, Jack. Hope you're having a happy holiday season there. It is Christmas Eve here in the States, or depending on which religious you are, happy holidays and happy whatever festivities you are celebrating this time of year. I do appreciate you being here. Please check out our website if you got a minute or so, and that is at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, where you can comment on these shows, and you can also leave us a voice message at our new voice number. That's 724-701-0550. You can also drop us an email at jackstechcorner@gmail.com, and you can follow me on Twitter, and that is at Technoman. Also catch us on, you can even catch us on Google Plus, and at Google Plus you will find us located in a community by the name of Jack's Tech Corner. So if you'd like to sign up, you can sign for future newsletters that we're working on at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Nothing really ironed out just yet, but there are some ideas of newsletters coming out there. Now, in this particular podcast, if you're listening to the audio podcast and you said, man, I got a little bit lost on that one, Jack, to get a little bit in depth. We are also recording this today, and this is a video I'm putting on YouTube. I don't normally put Tips from the Server Room on YouTube, but for today's tutorial and today's lesson, we're going to do that because it's very visual and there's a lot of steps involved that I want to make sure I cover everything and make sure you're able to see this stuff. Right now, we're broadcasting live at Spreaker.com, so if you're at Spreaker, thank you very much for joining me there, and hopefully you'll enjoy the tips from the server room. You can also catch all past episodes. You can catch all past episodes at tipsfromtheserverroom.com, and please subscribe to these on iTunes. I would really appreciate it. So today, we're going to be talking about IIS, or Internet Information Services, and serving up more than one website using more than one IP address. Now, already you're thinking, wow, it's already getting in depth. It's getting deep in here. So I actually had somebody email me about a month ago. It says, look, Jack, your podcasts are really great and they love listening to them, but they said they are quite techie. Well, that's the name of the game here. We do want to get a little bit more techie with you here and give you a little bit more insight, and still be able to have that availability of those, easier lessons and stuff that you can learn and that I can help you with. But I want to be able to get more in depth with stuff because I think a lot of podcasts out there like to scratch the surface, but they don't like to get real in depth with something. So that's what we're going to work on today. So today, as you can see, I am using Windows Server 2012. This is R2. And it looks like this is actually an evaluation copy I must have picked up somewhere. But anyhow, it will be fine for the demonstrations today. But the basics of this demonstration and how we're going to be setting these up is exactly the same no matter what you're using. No matter what Windows Server package you're using, it's still going to be just about the same. Now, with that said, let's go ahead and dig right in and get started. The first thing we're going to do here is we have to have, first of all, make sure that you have the role, Internet Information Services or IIS, make sure you have that installed as a service on your server. That's pretty much a no-brainer there, right? We have to have IIS loaded first. Now, if you don't see it, if you don't see the Internet Information Services Manager in your administration tools, then you probably do not have it installed. So go ahead and install it. Once you install it, you're going to bring up the Internet Information Services Manager, IIS Manager, And you're going to see here, the first website we have listed in here is the default website. Now, the default website, I'm going to go back here for a second because I want to show you. Let's bring up this PC. Under our C drive here, under your C drive, you will have a folder in there called inetpub. inetpub. Now, under inetpub, or Internet Public is what that stands for, you will have a few different folders in there. The folder that we're concerned about today to get started, first of all, with your default website, we're going to talk about that more in depth here, is www.root. Now, in www.root, that is the root directory, the default root directory for all of your documents to go in. Now, if you've never worked with IIS before and you said, Jack, you know, I've never used IIS, I don't know a thing about it, all you have to do is your first page that you put into IIS, in other words, the first page that's going to come up when somebody goes to your website, has to be marked or has to be called default.htm or default.html. Either one of those two will work. Once you get that default page in there, that would be your home page. Then any other page you build onto that, you can name those whatever you want to name those. Now, as I just said, folks, these are the defaults. These are the basic package. This is how it's installed. I never, ever leave my IIS the way it's installed because I don't think it's safe leaving your internet files on your root drive of your server. I think that's probably a bad idea. The way I like to set these things up is I like to change that path and locate my inetpub directory and my root to another drive is what I normally do. I'll show you where you do that at. We cannot do that today because this server is basically a virtual server and it only has a C drive. But what I would normally have in my servers is I have a C, a D, an E, have a couple different hard drive configurations in there. And be able to put these files on any one of those drives. Get it away from your Windows directories because you don't want to take that chance of that hacker coming in and getting direct access to the C drive. You want to have those somewhere just as a safety measure. I just think it's a good idea. All right, so we're going to go back up here one level. And we're going to go out. I'm going to minimize that for a minute. And what we're going to do now is we are going to go into our control panel. So let's do that. Let's go into the control panel. And what we want to do first of all here, I have to talk to you a little bit about your IP addressing scheme. The IP addressing scheme is the overall scheme that we have set up that we can actually use and make it very, very easy to use that IP scheme to set up multiple websites. Now, I know a lot of you out there are saying, Jack, no way, you can host multiple websites with one IP. You can. But here's the issue with that. Let's say, for instance, if I wanted to give Johnny Joe, Jim Bob, and Frank Smith all FTP access to their actual directories, their files. If I have everybody on one IP address, I have to start actually routing people in using port numbers. Now, I don't want to do that. I like port 21 being FTP. I like port 80 being my web traffic. I don't want them to take all those different port numbers and port those people all in different directions because this is what you're going to have. Let's just say, for instance, Johnny Jim Bob's website. So let's say we have jimbob.com:8091. That's his port number. Is he going to want to give that web address out to folks? No, he's not. So the easiest way to do it is let's put in multiple IP addresses, and then we'll start building our multiple web spaces. That's the best way. So you have to have a hierarchy, and you should write this stuff down. I mean, at our location, at our job, we keep pretty good notes. We know where the websites are. We know what servers are hosting what websites. We know what IP schemes are hosting it, and keep your IP schemes kind of together. And what I mean by that is very simply, if you use 10, let's say you're using the 10 schemes. Let's say 192.168.1.10. Maybe that would be your first IP. Don't go .20, .32, .58. Keep them together. Keep them in a sequence. Just, you know, if you think you're going to have 10 websites on a server, let's just say you're going to have 10 websites on a server, then take the time to map it out, plan ahead a little bit. And even if you don't have 10 websites right now, I know when we ran our ISP, what we would do is we would put maybe 30 IP addresses aside, even if we only had three running, because we had to set up for growth. You always want to set your company up for growth. You never want to set your company up for failure, because that's a backward progress, right? We need forward progress in a company. All right, so let's move on. The next thing we're going to do here is go into network and internet. And I'm going to go to network and sharing center and change adapter settings. Now, it took me a while to grab hold of this because early on we thought, well, every time we have to set up a website, we have to set up a new server. And back in our days when we ran our business, we didn't have virtual servers. We weren't that fortunate. I used to make my business partner go crazy because I'd go and say, hey, yeah, we need to buy a new server because we're going to host a new website and email for Company X. And even though Company X was paying us a good bit of money for that service, they didn't pay up front for the server. And my business partner would go, "Rrr," and he would give a little growl, and we would order the server. Today with virtual servers, you can almost, theoretically, you can put a new server, new virtual server up on a physical server. I mean, we set these things up in our service, you know, at our company in about 10 or 15 minutes, we can have the server up, fired up, and ready to go. But today, we're going to just say we're going to run all of our websites from one server. We're going to run all of our websites from one server. So if we right-click on our network connection, and like I said, if you're not catching this through the audio, please go to 42 Technoman on YouTube. Hopefully you're a member of my YouTube channel already. And this server video is going to be there for you. It's free. It's going to be freely available. Just as part of this podcast, I'm going to have it on there for you. So you can go and check it out there. If you can't catch this, please watch the video. All right. So here we are. We are on our Ethernet connector. We only have one in this particular server. You may have more. We're going to go down to properties. And when we do that, we're going to just simply scroll down to the Internet Protocol version 4, IPv4. Double click that. And we would normally have an IP address sitting in here already. I'm going to actually see what my IP address is. Let me see what this IP address is now. Let's see here. It looks like now it is 10.211.55.9 is what it is right now. All right. So what you're going to do here is that would be your first static address. We're going to go to advanced though. Now, let's see if we can do this. We're going to change that to 10. Now, let's go back. We're going to change that to 192.168. What's going to happen is I'm not going to have any networking, but that's okay for this demonstration. 1.10. A subnet mask is the 255.255.255.0. And the default gateway is your Internet gateways, 192.168.1.1. All right. Now, so we already have 192.168.1.10. That's our primary address on our network card. It's the first address to the network card. What we're going to do now is click on Advanced. And what we're going to do now is we're going to add IP addresses. Now, here's the part that I didn't catch on to for a long time. A network card can have many, many addresses on it. I'm not saying as many as you want because there is a traffic limitation after a while, but it can handle different IP addresses and still allow that traffic to come into that card from different areas. This is really nice because it allows us now to set up multiple websites with one NIC, one server, and one instance of IIS. It works out really extremely well. Let's click on add. We're going to add another address, 192.168.1.11. Same subnet mask. So now we have 10 and 11. Let's add one more, 192.168.1.12. All right, so now we got 10, 11, and 12. All the gateways are the same. All the DNSs are the same. We're good to go. Click OK. Click OK again and OK. Now, once we have all of our IP address schemes done on our network card, that's where I go first. Get the network card done first because then everything else will fall right into place and you'll be so much more ahead, so far ahead that you won't believe if you do these things in this sequence. It's a very important sequence and it's very easy to do. So there, we have our IP addresses done on our card. Let's close this. We are going to close this window. Now, what we're going to do here now is we are in our IIS manager. We are going to right-click on the default website. And where it says binding, okay, so let me do that again. We're going to right-click on the website and go to binding. Now, when you go to binding, click on that type HTTP, hostname, port 80, IP address, right? Click on edit. Now, we don't want to ever set a website up on your server with the IP address as all unassigned. And the reason that is because any IP address that's on your server that's not being used at the moment, remember, you may set some of these up in advance, will be automatically assigned to this default website. We don't want that to go on. We want to change that, and here is our address that we just put in. So we are going to put it on our first one, 192.168.1.10. I'll click on that. I'm going to give it a host name. We'll call this one Jack's website.com. All right, click OK. Now we have a name on it. We have it named and pointed to a certain site, my site. Okay, we're going to click close. The next thing we're going to look at, pull this out now. You can see now where it says binding. It has my name on there. Anyway, for the radio audience there, for the podcast and for Spreaker, I'm going to go over this. Under Sites, Internet Information Manager, we have name, default website. The ID number is 1. A status is started, HTTP. So it started for HTTP traffic. Then we have the binding is jackssite.com on 192.168.1.10, and then the path, all right? Now, if I right-click on that particular line and go to basic settings, this is where you can change your physical path. The physical path is pointing to that system drive at inetpub/www root. You can click the little browse button, and we can change that anywhere we want. And as I told you earlier, what I would do with that when it says edit site is put your files onto another hard drive. Don't leave them on that system drive because it's a bad place. If hackers get in there, they will have access to your root files. They could gain access easily, more easily, to your Windows files and be able to get in there and do things more so than what they would to anything else. That's just my personal beliefs. That's why I like to put it on another drive. It doesn't hurt to do that. It doesn't hurt performance or anything. You'll be just fine. So what we're going to do now is we're going to add another website. Remember, we had another website. We had Jim Bob and we had Joe Bob. Okay, for lack of better terminology, Jim Bob and Joe Bob. I'm going to add a new site. Site name, Jim Bob. All right. Physical path. All right, so let's make a physical path. For this one, we're going to go back to the www under inetpub. We're going to go to inetpub. And under this one, we're going to make a folder here for Jim Bob. Jim Bob, just like that. It can be Jim Bob. That's the name. I always name my folders based on my site name. Because then when I'm in my hard drive, when I'm looking at my hard drive, I can always determine whose files are where and why they're where they're at. Again, the binding is going to be HTTP is our type. Once again, we're adding a website. Under IP address, remember, don't do all unassigned. Let's make this one the 1.11. And now, as you can see, we can still use port 80. This one's going to be jimbob.com. And start website immediately. You can do that, or maybe you don't want to start it immediately. We want to leave it turned off right now. So right now it's stopped. If we want to start it, we can always right-click on it, and we can start the website. But right now we're just going to leave it off. And you can see the ID number now is 2. The name this time is Jim Bob. So Jim Bob's there is the name. If you go down to Manage Website, you can start it. It has the binding jimbob.com on 192.168.1.11, port 80. That's fine. So the last website we're going to make for this demonstration is the website by the name of Joe Bob, right? That's my next one I want to create. Add a website, Joe Bob. Maybe they're brothers, Jim Bob and Joe Bob. Okay, the physical path, where would we put it now? Think about this a second. I just told you, before I even show you, you're going to think about it. You're right. I'm going to inetpub, create a new folder, and I'm going to call this folder Joe Bob. And click OK. What's the next thing I'm going to do? You're correct. The next thing we're going to do is we are going to change the IP address. And this one's going to be 192.168.1.12, port 80. And the website will be joebob.com. And I am not going to start the website immediately. And there we go. So you can see very easily how IIS will allow you to set up multiple websites across one NIC. So you have one network card. And you can set these websites up. And it's very simple to do. Just take your time. Remember, get the network card set up first with your IP addresses. It's very important. After you do that, you want to go back out, go into your IIS or Internet Information Service Manager, and then just click on Add Website and just start building your websites in there. As I said, from past practices from years ago when we owned an internet business, a great way we did it was set those addresses up initially first, all the IP addresses, have your scheme. Even if you don't want to sit and type in right away, I would have a logbook or an Excel spreadsheet or something. And what we do with IP addresses at work now is we break them up. We know that we kept the first, I'm talking internal addresses, not really routable addresses here. So, and we talked about that on the show maybe a month or so ago, so you might want to go back and look at that show. But what I'm talking about here is if you want to set maybe 50 addresses aside for your servers, okay, and what you might have to do for the servers. You may need more than that. At work, we actually have the first 100 addresses set aside that's not used, and we can use those for staticking to servers, using them for websites, hosting, email servers, whatever you may have in your network. So it makes it really, really easy to do it that way. Have those set up, and then that way you can very easily roll these websites out. It's a piece of cake. And you can give them FTP access. We can talk about that another time. If you're interested, you can send me an email. Say, Jack, I'm kind of interested in FTP. I don't understand it. And we'll talk about that. Bring my notes back up here. So, folks, I hope you've enjoyed this show today, this podcast on this Christmas Eve of the year 2013. And if you want to learn more about Windows Server 2008 R2, Windows Server 2012, or VMware ESXi Server from A to Z, so this is install to configuration to managing to building webs, not building websites, but setting IIS up even further. This is kind of a little pre-show of it. A lot of people say, Jack, we'd like to know, we'd like to see a way your class is done. Well, if you're in the audience right now and you're in, listening to this on iTunes, check out 42 Technoman and look at the video we just did together. That is the kind of videos that you're going to see on those online classes. You can sign for the online courses at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Just look for the online class link at the top of the page. Right now, the classes are still marked down. I decreased the prices of all those classes till the end of the year. So you just have another couple, about another week. And then those prices are going to go back to regular prices. So if you're thinking about getting into those, now is the time. The courses, remember, they're self-paced. Take as long as you want. You watch a video. Take a short 2 or 3 question quiz. It's very simplistic. And don't worry, don't get too hung up over that, because the quizzes, I have it set up where you can watch the video again and take the quiz again. You didn't do too well. Watch a part of the video again, take the quiz again, and do better, because I want you to understand the material. Once you complete the course, I will mail you a certificate. Just you'll send me your address, and I'll mail it out. Once again, you can sign up today at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Folks, have a great week this week. Hopefully you're on some kind of holiday break, some vacation. If you're not, if you're stuck in a server room somewhere, well, may all your servers be singing the praises of joy over this holiday season and not humming the despair of agony. Hopefully they're moving along pretty good. And I will talk to you next Tuesday here for another show on Tips from the Server Room. Take care, everybody, and bye. Happy holidays. See you then. Just listen to Tips from the Server Room with your host, Jack. If you have any questions, please drop me a comment at tipsfromtheserverroom.com. Thanks again for tuning in and downloading the shows. Now sit back, relax, and listen to the remainder of the music. We'll see you next week on Tips from the Server Room. So long.